After being away for a week and two Sundays, it's a gift to be back and to be serenaded by such rich, wonderful music by members of Karen and Wilbur Leidick's family. Thank you for being here, and thank you, Wilbur and Karen, for your special anniversary that brings your family together this weekend. Music has a way of touching our heartstrings literally and emotionally, and speaking to the joy and the pain that we carry and that is in our world and reaches for something more and better, as well as calming our fears and giving us the reassuring presence that God is with us, even as the psalmist writes and speaks again to those dark valleys and the shadows of death that we live in, but reminds us that God is leading us into green pastures and still waters. As we gather this morning, we gather in the midst of a broken world, a world that is weeping, whether in El Paso, Texas, or Dayton, Ohio, or in homes and families in Mississippi where there were ICE raids this week, or families detained at the border. We know something of the cries of our world. And it's easy for us to look away and pretend it's not there. We're privileged, many of us, to not be directly connected with the pains and griefs of our world. While on vacation this past week, I was keenly reminded in my travels throughout the world, which are few, that many people in our world don't have the luxury of getting away for a week of vacation. They don't just ride bike for fun. They ride for a cause, to get to work or somewhere else, and seldom do they get out of their current circumstances. We can turn a blind eye to the suffering of the world and escape it all if we want to. Most of us, anyway, can do that. But the Christian church throughout our 2,000 years of history has always found ways to move toward pain, to move toward grief and hurt and violence, even though many of the hurting places in our world are fraught with complexity and political debates and controversies. The Christian church wages and ventures into the fray, and we listen to the stories of hurt, and we hear places of brokenness, and we weep with those who weep, and we respond at times with action. We know the biblical vision of generosity, of caring for the stranger, the alien, that goes back beyond the Christian church, back to the Old Testament people who were strangers and aliens and were told to care about those in their midst that had no place to lay their head because they too were part of God's big family. In fact, in 1 Peter in the New Testament, Peter is writing, calling the church aliens and strangers because we're so different from the rest of the world. We act and we respond and we care about those around us. And we're reminded that God sometimes surprises us in those we don't know, the stranger in our midst. We know the big picture: to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. Recently, the Mennonite Central Committee has developed another kind of care kit. In addition to school kits and refugee kits, it's an immigrant detainee care kit, because it's a tangible way of responding to the needs that we see around us. It's something we can do, and our local Franconia Mennonite Conference has just granted $5,000 as matching monies to congregations and individuals that want to contribute to this cause. And in a recent article about this, Benny Crispianto, an Indonesian immigrant and pastor of one of our conference congregations in Philadelphia, has said, "This is not a political issue, but a call for caring for real children who have no control over the decision to be here in our community. These are real people," he says, "who are already here and are suffering, and these kits will help." These aren't just stories, he says, that we see on TV. This is our everyday life. This morning, we have another opportunity to hear another kind of immigrant story from a part of the world that we know exists and is sometimes in the news but doesn't grab the headlines, the tensions and the struggle in Israel-Palestine, a situation that has been stressed and broken for well over 50 years. I was blessed in 2007, that's 12 years ago already, to travel to Israel-Palestine, 12 years ago, and to spend much of my time in the West Bank behind that 30-foot wall that separates Israel proper from many of the Palestinians in the West Bank. And we got to see the struggles of everyday life on the other side of the wall, where on the other side of the wall there are Jewish settlements that have made inroads into the West Bank and that look like any well-watered, gated community, modern homes in the United States. And then in between these Jewish settlements are Palestinian homes and farms and vineyards that don't get as much water. And travel between these settlements is sometimes limited and fraught with checkpoints and all kinds of issues, and houses and land is confiscated. And it was a very sobering reality to be present for just 10 days in that part of the world. As a Mennonite church, we have a statement about Israel-Palestine. It's 7 or 8 pages long, and it's a very complex issue. But this morning, we're invited to hear more directly a story from Issa and Colette Oda and their daughter Elissa, as they share with us this morning some of their story of travel from Bethlehem 2 years ago to the United States. They are Catholic Christians, attend Our Lady of Guadalupe in Doylestown. And 10 days ago, I had the most amazing meal in their home and received welcoming hospitality as I listened to their story firsthand. They got connected in many ways to this community about 10 years ago, 9 years ago, on a tour that was taken from this community over to Israel-Palestine. Some of our own people were along on that tour, Hubert and Mary Swersentrooper, and Dan and Shirley Lapp, and Noah and Sarah Kolb, along with Ken Burkholder, a pastor at Deep Run East, and Roger Schmell, a pastor at Deep Run West. And Roger and Ken were hosted by the Oda family for a few days on that tour and stayed in contact with them over the years. And so when the Oda family decided to transition from their home in Bethlehem to the United States, they reached out to Ken and Roger, and they helped to coordinate some connections in this community. And they've made many connections in this community already. Got connected with Doc Academy, got connected with a number of local congregations, and have been sharing their story, have been selling olive wood products as a way to help their living conditions. And you'll note in the bulletin as well, they're also hosting some meals in their home as well, coordinated by Bob Moyer at Deep Run East. So we welcome you this morning, Issa and Elissa, as you share your story with us.